Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. We are glad you are here. Certainly appreciate you hanging out with us today. Full show today, as a matter of fact. We got a lot going on. Going to talk about the Packers, some of the wide receiver depth. We'll get into the Packers roster in general. Rami Makhlouf from The Score, north in the Twin Cities. He's going to be here, S-K-O-R, because he used to be, by the way, for those that follow this particular flagship station out of Milwaukee, he was here in Milwaukee. Now he's in Minneapolis. We'll talk with him. Also, talk a little Bucks schedule. Yesterday, their schedule was released. I was excited about the Brewers schedule yesterday. When the Brewers schedule came out, you saw that the Cubs were the first game, the opener. So we'll talk some Bucks schedule. That came out after we got off the air yesterday. Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com is going to be here. Also, Carlos Subero. Is that how you pronounce it, Joe? Subero? I thought so. Milwaukee Brewers first base coach. We're going to see him today. Lauren Reese, Championship Marketing and Promotions Manager for the Ryder Cup, is going to stop by and say hi today as we start the countdown now for the Ryder Cup. And we're going to talk a little motorcycle ride and Milwaukee Rally Weekend and our charity event. Zach Heilprin, the sports director out there at the Zone in Madison, going to be joining us. We'll talk some Badgers. We'll talk some Packers as well, as he was sitting next to me at the Packers game the other night. So, got a lot going on today. The Green Bay, we talked about this yesterday, the Green Bay Packers with, I find it interesting, when they started ranking, it was either Pro Football Focus or Pro Football Talk, ranked offenses, okay? And everybody's got a ranking, everybody's got a thought about what teams are going to do. We all know that, okay? We've been through this before, there's nothing new here. But when they start talking about the Packers, everybody just says, well, there's Aaron Rodgers and then blank. You just kind of fill it in, okay? And the question is, and I've said this before, okay, and if you listen to the program, you know that I've kind of discussed this, that when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, what leads you to believe that this team is going to be better than what they were last year? Seriously, what leads you to believe that they're going to be better than what they were last year? So, and I'm speaking more offensively at this point. So you start to think about it. You say, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers is coming back with a chip on his shoulder. All right, he's fired up. He's ready to go. All right. Okay, after that, what? You picked up Billy Turner to play guard. Brian Bulaga's back and healthy for right now. You certainly hope that he is going to be all that, I guess, is the best way to put it. Okay, what else? Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. Okay. Devontae Adams is back. Geronimo Allison is now healthy. He's back. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Jamon Moore, Jay Kumerow, all another year in this system. All right. But they didn't add anything. You know what I mean? So what leads you to believe that this team is going to be better? Because for this team, maybe defensively they're going to be better. They get better field position or what have you. Okay. And maybe the offense, if the defense does get better, the offense doesn't feel the necessary anxiety to go out and score every time. But when you think about this team and offensively and you think, okay, where do they get better? Where is this team? Is it just the scheme? Because that's really what it comes down to. It's just the scheme. So the scheme has to be better. Now, I will say, and I saw this the other night, we'll probably see more of it again as the offense continues to develop and open up, but I did like the other night. You saw a quarterback under center. You saw motion out of wide receivers, motion out of out of running backs. You saw that. So, good things. You saw different guys, you saw bunch formations, you saw, they used to call it spaghetti routes years ago, but you saw guys that were, running these soft picks. You saw some things like that. Scheming guys open. So the scheme will be better. You assume the scheme is going to be better. You assume that the guys that are playing with Aaron Rodgers will, just through osmosis, be better, right? I think we can all agree upon that. But will this thing be innately better? That's my question. 855-830-8648. And it starts with Aaron Rodgers and the weapons he has. I think everybody's a big believer in Devontae Adams. After that, though, what do you got? I believe if there's, look, I was just asked this the other night. Who do you think's going to be really good? Well, if I had to circle somebody, okay, if he stays healthy, circle Geronimo Allison. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has downfield go speed. I think Geronimo Allison has the height. I think he's got the ability. He's got the hands. He's kind of like when I saw him last year in training camp go up and grab a couple of balls, get hit, pushed out of bounds, bounce right back up, and you knew he was nicked up, but he just wanted to be there. He just wanted to keep going. He's just a football player, but he's a specialty position football player. I just like the guy. There's just something about him. You don't see that very often. Jay Kumerow catches everything in his area. Some say he's a poor man's Jordy Nelson. If that's the case, he's going to have a long and storied career in Green Bay because the quarterback likes him. I think Equanimeous St. Brown, big wingspan, not afraid to go over the middle, big hands, catches a lot of things in his direction. The one guy that knows he's on the bubble is Jamon Moore. He's on the outside looking in because it's one thing to be open and have all the talent in the world, and once he does catch the ball, he's a hard guy to bring down, but the dude has to catch the ball. You know what I mean? So there's some weaponry there. I don't know what you believe in, but they don't pick. There's many people within the league that don't pick the weapons for the Green Bay Packers very high. This is not Jordy and Greg and James and Randall and Donald and Jermichael. This is not that group. That group was an incredibly talented group, but I think they can be a step below it. I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is ready for a breakout year. I think Geronimo Allison is the guy that I'm circling. But you've got three wide receivers that you can say, okay, these are the guys. And after that, Jake Kumerow is on that next level. And after that, there's another level. And that's where Equanimeous St. Brown, Trevor Davis, Alan Lazard, Jamon Moore, that's where they come in. Because they're fighting. And there's probably going to be six, maybe seven wide receivers kept on this team. So who does that leave on the outside? If Trevor Davis remains as your kick and punt returner, who does that leave on the outside? So I want to get into that discussion today. How good do you feel about the weaponry that Aaron Rodgers has? The offense, for much as you can talk about Aaron, the offense only goes as the guys around Aaron go. So offensively, because we spend so much time talking about the defense, how is it going to get better? Talking about tackling, talking about turnovers, talking about Mike Pettine, talking about being versatile, interchangeable piece, all that stuff. But we have not really discussed this offense at length. And I still believe they're going to use Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and Dexter Williams a lot more out of the backfield. I think you're going to see that more. So you tell me, how comfortable do you feel with the weaponry that Aaron Rodgers has? Start with the wide receiving core and we'll matriculate down. Because then you've got Jimmy Graham and Jay Sternberger and you kind of go from there. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, go with those guys. Because if they keep four tight ends, then chances are they're only keeping six wide receivers, which puts Lazard and Jamon Moore and Shepard and Taylor and Redding, all those guys on the outside looking in, most likely. So tell me what you think of the depth that Aaron Rodgers has to throw to. 855-830-8648. Hey, if you want to give us a shout, by all means do so. You can also do it on the Twitter feed, if you will, @Bill_Michaels. Radio Joe Zinzola back today. You can hit him up @RadioJoeSports. Track us down on the Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. There's always the website, BillMichaelsSports.com, where you can email us and find all the links. And do not forget to take us everywhere with the Radio.com app as well. You can download the podcast. You can go ahead and just listen to the show there. I did it yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was out on the bike path. I was doing a workout. out on the bike path yesterday after I got off the air, and popped in the phone, put in the headset, and turned on the radio.com app, and was listening to some sports talk as I was riding the bike yesterday. So it's a great way to kind of take us anywhere and everywhere. Going to go and take a quick break. What do you feel of the weaponry? What do you think that Aaron Rodgers has to work with? Is this team good enough? Do you believe there's enough talent on this squad to be good enough to overcome all the obstacles that could stand in the way of the NFC North and ultimately an NFC title? 855-830-8648. Your thoughts next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Got to meet the honey with the million-dollar body. They say welcome back. So talking Packers football as we sit here on a day in which the Brewers are back at it. Packers are back in the practice field. Yesterday was, everything was quiet. It was quiet yesterday. Yeah, Badgers news, you know. Badgers getting ready for their season. But everything else is just quiet right now. Till the teams begin to practice and play yet again. So as you start, and this is one of those times where everybody starts doing their ranking systems, and we talked a little bit about Devontae Adams and whether or not he was a number, true number three, as Aaron Rodgers had said he was in the league and such, and he said he was top three, and you know, we got into that discussion a little bit, but now you start to break down the remainder of that roster of the guys that are catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, and I believe, look, Aaron Jones, That dude put on some poundage. And I'm not talking negative, like he went out, you know, and ate with Eddie Lacy. I'm talking like this guy put on some muscle. He wanted to get thicker. He kept his speed, he said, but he wanted to get thicker. He wanted to get stronger. He wanted the ability to take a little bit more of a pounding. Okay? Which is because he can get into the second level and go. Then you've got Jamal Williams. Now, he's more north-south. He's going to be the guy that's going to drag a few other guys with him down the road. So you've got a pretty good 1-2 punch. You put Dexter Williams into the mix, who's a lot more like Aaron Jones, and you've got additional fresh legs. So you've got some guys that can kind of, you know, tote the rock a little bit behind Aaron Rodgers, and you only need that threat. You don't need guys that are going to bust it open all the time. It'd be great to have the capability of a guy like Le'Veon Bell or Zeke Elliott, but you don't have to have it when you have Aaron Rodgers. Okay? What you have to have is a threat. You take guys out of the box to start covering wide receivers, and suddenly the run game opens up, and then vice versa. But now, you look at Devontae Adams, and then who? Who thrills you? Me? I've been saying for a while now, circle Geronimo Allison. You're going to see more and more of him as long as he stays healthy. Circle him. JL tweets us, says, don't trust the wide receivers outside of Adams, and I like Jones, but he's always banged up. And that's been, you know, very accurate. Let's go to Alex, listening to us in West Allis. Alex, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Bill?
How you doing?
Hey, not going to complain. Hey, I really do like the weaponry. I think with Gutekunst and what he's tried to do in player personnel, he's tried to get those body types, you know, those guys that can win one-on-one matchups and not just try to scheme guys open. They can, like I said, they can win athletically. So I feel like also the scheme does benefit, you know, guys who may not be as athletically gifted too. So you put those two things together, and I think you got a dynamite offensive kind of profile, especially when you got a trigger man like number 12. So I think they have what he needs. Tanyan looks really good. The Sternberger kid looks, you know, pretty good when people are not trying to take his head off. Obviously, we've seen what Aaron Jones has been able to do, and we've been clamoring for him to be able to get the ball more. Now that he's been loose, hopefully he can stay healthy. The Dexter Williams kid looks really good. I think they got what they need, and they got 10 competent offensive linemen. They got some coverage for injury. I think the offense is going to be pretty good. Obviously, it's going to be some growing pains, but I think he has the weaponry to get it done.
Appreciate the phone call, Alex. I think the offense is a sleeper right now. Everybody's looking over the fence at Aaron Rodgers, and they're watching this relationship between Rodgers and LaFleur, and that's fine. watch the shiny object, because I think under the surface, I think if they figure it out, I completely agree with you. I think they're probably not as deep as quality, but as deep as adequacy on the offensive line as they've had in a while. I really believe that. I think that if Jimmy Graham can give you more than what he gave you last year in any way, shape, or form, I think they'll be better at the tight end position. I don't know where Jay Sternberger and Robert Tonyan fit into the mix. I know Mercedes Lewis is what he is. He's a blocking guy. Every now and then he's going to get a pass thrown his direction. He's going to catch it, fall forward for 7 to 10 yards, and that's his forte. But Robert Tonyan can get downfield. Jay Sternberger, he's kind of a raw work in progress, but he's got some hops to him. But the biggest thing is going to be Devontae Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Jake Kumerow, Trevor Davis, say Equanimeous St. Brown. If you can get beyond Devontae and find two guys, legitimate pass catchers, and you need, let me say this, you need a guy that's willing to go over the middle. Jake Kumerow might be that guy. Geronimo Allison could be that guy. Geronimo Allison, I don't know if he could take the pounding going over the middle. That's why Equanimeous St. Brown, I think, is so good in that particular role. I think he's kind of a poor man Donald Driver, and Driver was great. Driver made a living over the middle. Driver made a living in the seam. That's where he made his living. Now, you get him a short, you know, 5, 6, 7 yard inside slant, and off he went. Man, he was off to the races. Get me through those linebackers, and off he went, as long as you could pull the safeties downfield. And he wasn't going to be caught. So if they've got that in Equanimeous St. Brown, and Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Devontae Adams can get downfield, and Jake Kumerow becomes that fourth or fifth guy, I think you really have a pretty solid wide receiving core. I think it's vastly underrated. Now, just my opinion. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But I think it's vastly underrated. But I think they're going to be good. Now, the biggest question I have, out of all the pieces on the offense that you can't lose, there's two pieces. Obviously, it starts with Aaron Rodgers. But you can't lose David Bakhtiari. I don't think they have a quality left tackle sitting there right now. I don't think they have one. So that's my biggest fear, that David Bakhtiari goes down and they just can't find somebody that's consistent enough to protect the blind side of Aaron Rodgers. So you cross your fingers on your left tackle position. Everything else, Elgin Jenkins, he got some snaps. I think Lucas Patrick is adequate. Cole Madison is, I think, going to be good as long as he's getting back into that game shape, so to speak. I think they've got some good guys. And the fact that they've jettisoned Jason Spriggs, they don't have that pariah depth problem where you got a guy on the roster just because. So I think they're good there. But this is probably as balanced. It's not special. This offense isn't special. But I think it's about as good depth-wise and as solid-wise as they've been in a long time. I feel a lot better about them today than I did coming out of the season last year. And they didn't do much. Like I said, they haven't added a lot. But the fact that you are changing schemes, you are doing things differently, you are having guys refocus. And like Mike Clemens said yesterday, you can just tell with the defensive line coaches, the position coaches, new guys coming in, that you can just tell how maybe stale things really were in Green Bay, if you want to use that terminology. I mean, you can use whatever adjective you want, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a difference between what was yesterday and what's today. And you can just tell it. It's discernible. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Kyle tweets us, @Bill_Michael says, trust? No, because they're not much. There's that earned trust. Excited to see what this group can do. Absolutely, especially when you add into the tight end group the way they have it. This is from Dennis. Dennis writes in the Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. I think it all begins and ends with Aaron Rodgers. Is he in with his mind, his body, his heart, and his soul? If he is, look out. If he's not, then we are going to have problems. Do you believe he is the coach killer that people are calling? No. No, I don't. Look, how can you call somebody a coach killer who's only had one coach? That relationship ran its course. Had there been more winning and more, you know, bending on both sides, I guess, maybe that thing lasts longer. But how can you call him a coach killer when he's only had one? This is only his second coach. Because it didn't. Does a relationship in the coaching ranks, unless the coach says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm retiring, and going out on his own terms, does a relationship ever end well? Think about it. You know? It wasn't like Mike McCarthy said, you know what? I just don't want to be the head coach of the Packers anymore. I just want a greener pasture somewhere else. I've been here. I appreciate everything I've done and everything everybody's done for me, but I just want to go somewhere else. And the Packers go, you know what? Okay, Mike, we love you, man. We've got a street named after you. Thanks for the championship. Thanks for all you've done. It's been fantastic. Didn't end that way. It ended in a very ugly fashion. You just got whipped by the Arizona Cardinals, and you got booed off the field by your fans. And after a press conference in which you basically told the world you don't have answers, you get called up to the office, and instead of saying, you know, hey, what's going on? What can we do to support you? It was, we've supported you long enough. We'll talk to you later. Please grab your stuff. Here's a security guy to walk you out. So it never ends well. That's my point. We're going to talk some Vikings football when we come back. I'm not kidding. Vikings football. Rami Makhlouf from the Score North in the Twin Cities. He's going to be joining us. This portion of the program also brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. They've been doing it for 45 years. By the way, they have the punt pass run competition coming up for the Star Children's Fund. And all you got to do is go to LombardiFoundation.org/puntpasskick. That's LombardiFoundation.org/puntpasskick. If you got a child 6 to 13 years of age, it's going to be in Madison, Milwaukee, the Fox Valley. Still have some time to sign up there. And it's all brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. Got a lot more coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Michael Show, we continue on. Brewers getting ready. They're back at it after an off day yesterday. Minnesota Twins coming to town. Twins, now they're battling in the Central themselves because they're going up against Cleveland, trying to beat up on the trying to beat the Indians. And Chase Anderson going to the hill tonight. He's going to make his 24th appearance and 19th start of the season. He started last week. I was at Pittsburgh. It was a no decision and a 4-3 win, by the way. Went 5 2/3, 6 hits, a couple of runs, both earned. A walk, 4 strikeouts, had the one bomb that he gave up. Made his first 5 appearances in relief this season, don't forget. But he has been pretty good coming off the mound as a starter. The Brewers trying to get back to their winning ways after winning 5 in a row. And then they took the loss in the finale against the Texas Rangers. And if you can just kind of keep it going, keep winning series, they're going to be in a good way. Now they've got a quick 2-game series with the Minnesota Twins. And we go now to our good buddy who was just in town telling jokes and having fun. It was Rami Makhlouf from the Score North in the Twin Cities area. Rami, how you been, buddy?
Billy, Mike. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I am doing well. How are you enjoying the Twin City, by the way?
I'm loving it. It's a great town, man. It's a really fun city, even when people are in full-on panic mode about their baseball team. It's a really fun city.
Have you had dinner yet with our buddy Paul Charchian up there?
I have not. I have not had the pleasure of dining with Charch yet.
You got to get a hold of Charch and go over to Manny's and stuff your face like you're going to the electric chair.
Charch strikes me as the type of guy who knows where to find a good meal.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does, very much so, without a doubt. Hey, I want to start with the Twins. Obviously, the Twins are coming to town tonight, going to take on the Brewers in a quick 2-game series. But the Minnesota Twins were lighting it up. They have slowed a tad bit as of late. What has been the problem?
Well, some of the problem has been just a team coming back down to earth. I mean, when the Twins were at their hottest, Bill, they were on pace for 110 wins. And even the most optimistic of us, and I was among the most optimistic in the Twin Cities about this baseball team when the season started, even I didn't see a 110-win season coming. So there was some coming back down to earth in the cards for this Twins team. That's just a matter of fact in baseball and over the course of a 162-game season. But if you want to know what has led to that coming back down to earth, part of it has just been a tougher schedule. They play in a terrible division, and early on in the season they were getting a lot of Royals, White Sox, and Tigers on their schedule. And then the tables sort of flipped, and the Indians got a lot of Royals, Tigers, and White Sox on their schedule, and that sort of evened things up a little bit, along with some starting pitchers, Martin Perez, Jake Odorizzi, coming back down to earth and realizing that they were Martin Perez and Jake Odorizzi and not Cy Young or Johan Santana. So those are the specifics that have led to it. One thing that has been pretty consistent, oh, and throw in some injuries too. I mean, Byron Buxton can't stay on the field and stay healthy, and now Nelson Cruz on the IL, though it looks like they'll get him back soon. But what I was just about to say, Bill, is the one thing that has been consistent is offense. And even when they do have some injuries, this team hits home runs and scores runs. It's whether or not the pitching and the defense can do enough to back that up.
So as they come into Miller Park, now the Brewers obviously in the pitching department have been struggling with injuries, but their offense up until Sunday has been on fire. So give me your thoughts as to what gives. The Brewers offense comes back and hits the ball hard, or the Twins are able to kind of shut them down?
I think the Brewers will be able to score runs because of the way that this Twins team has been pitching lately. And outside of Jose Berríos, who even he has leveled out a little bit, and Jake Odorizzi, who's come way back from where he started the season, but still pretty good. Outside of that, you really don't have guys in this rotation who you can trust, Bill. And the bullpen, they did bolster it with a couple of moves right before the deadline, but still a liability, like most bullpens all around baseball right now. I mean, I'm sure that folks in Milwaukee, especially after they were so spoiled with the bullpen that you've had the last year or two, were freaking out about the performance of that pen earlier in the year. And I know Twins fans have been panicking about the performance of their bullpen. But you look around Major League Baseball, and even around contending teams or teams that have playoff spots right now, bullpens are just getting beat up across Major League Baseball. And I don't see that changing for either of those teams coming into this series with two pitching staffs that are struggling almost across the board and two offenses who know how to put balls over the fence and put runs on the board.
Talking with Rami Makhlouf from the Score North in Minneapolis, talking some Twins baseball. And with the Twins, now, I got to ask you this, Rami, because I know you're a big fan of not having a roof, right?
Oh, yeah. Love it. So my hashtag is don't put a roof on it.
That's what I thought. How is the fan base in Minnesota when it comes to Twins baseball? Because if they're in it to win it and they're actually coming down to the wire, are they coming out in droves as the weather turns?
They are. That I will say. Early in the season, attendance was a major struggle for this Twins team, and I think that was due to the weather, but also due to the fact that the Twins organization lost the trust of a lot of their fans since they've moved into Target Field. They've had, I think, two playoff seasons, and both of those were kind of fluke pop-up years, and the team reverted right back to not-so-great baseball immediately following that. So I think that they did lose the faith of some of the fans. And I don't think that they've won it back completely. You know, right now, with the Indians making the run that they're making and the Twins now in second place for the first time since, I don't know, I think it was April 20th, I'm seeing more and more of the fans who have lost the faith and lost the trust in the Twins saying this is just another season with the cheap poll ads. That's the family that owns the Twins up here in the Twin Cities. It's a cheap poll ads. This team didn't do everything that they could at the trade deadline to bolster the roster and give them a chance to win a World Series. So some of that is coming to the surface again. That distrust of the organization is coming to the surface again because of this quote-unquote collapse that this team is going through right now here in 2019. But the attendance has definitely turned around. They're pretty consistently selling it out, especially for big weekend series like they just had with the Indians or a couple weeks ago with the Yankees. The Twins fans are turning out to Target Field. TV ratings are higher than they've been in years from what I'm told, Bill. So the fans are coming back around, but there is still a seed of mistrust in this organization.
When do they expect Pineda back and Cruz back?
Pineda should be any day now. I think that was sort of a maintenance IL trip. He's a guy who has had his share of injury problems. Actually, they signed him before last year, knowing that he wouldn't pitch for them for a full season. He had elbow issues. He's got tendonitis in his knee. So he's a guy who they have to really watch and try to maintain and keep him healthy. He had a stint earlier in the year where they put him on the IL with the knee tendonitis, and it was pretty well known. They didn't come out and say it, but it was pretty well known that it was a maintenance thing. It wasn't like the tendonitis was acting up or flaring up or had become a problem. They just wanted to stop it before it did. So he should be back any day. And we actually got some good news on Nelson Cruz yesterday. He is traveling with the team, and it sounds like he should be off the IL as soon as that's possible. I think that's this Friday or this Saturday that they can activate him.
Before I let you go, by the way, we're talking with Rami Makhlouf from the Score North in Minneapolis. Got to ask you about Minnesota Vikings because that's what I assume everybody up there is gearing up for. So how much pressure is there on Zimmer this year to get it done and win the division and get deep into the postseason?
Bill, I was told that something bizarre would happen in Vikings camp this year because something bizarre always happens in Vikings camp, and it usually surrounds some odd choice or something that Mike Zimmer says. And sure enough, that happened this weekend. All was quiet. All was well. There wasn't any real news coming out of training camp, as is the case in most training camps, especially this early on in things. And they go and trade for a guy from the Baltimore Ravens who's a kicker and a punter. And by the way, Bill, they already have on their roster a kicker and a punter who did not think their jobs were really in jeopardy. And then the guy shows up, and they have the kicker on the roster, Dan Bailey, holding for the new kicker. I don't understand for the life of me what the end game is there, that Dan Bailey be on the roster just to hold kicks for this new guy?
Right.
I cannot understand what that's about. I understand trying to upgrade your kicker or your punter and making that trade, but the way that they're going about it is just odd and bizarre, and it's my first taste of the Minnesota Vikings, and what I'm told is an organization that often has quirky, weird little things like that going on with them, and it's almost a tradition that one of them goes on in training camp. I just got my first taste of it.
Yeah, Zimmer's been doing this for a while. I don't know if it's Zimmer. I don't know if it's their general manager, but sometimes I always feel like he just doesn't endear himself to his entire team very well by doing some of these things. Remember the year that he had the one of his players, one of the backup players, got a DUI or got pulled over, and he cut him and blasted him in the media. Meanwhile, his own assistant coach had gotten a DUI earlier that year and didn't say a word about it.
Yeah, but he does provide some good quotes, Bill. I don't know if you remember last year when they cut their kicker. His name is escaping me right now, but they had drafted him in the fourth round, and he cut him. And somebody asked Mike Zimmer, why did you go in a different direction? His answer was, did you see the game?
Right.
The kicker had
did you see him?
I think three field goals to cost him the game. And his answer was simply, did you see the game?
Right.
Which is the correct answer to that question.
Yep, no doubt. Hey, good stuff as always. I'm glad you're enjoying your time there in Minneapolis. Get a hold of our buddy Charge. Tell him you got to go to Manny's, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Rami Makhlouf from the Score North in Minneapolis talking to us about a little bit of Twins, a little bit of Vikings, the pressure, the weirdness, all that kind of good stuff. And we'll talk with more with him as time comes on, as the Minnesota Vikings come a-calling. But Charge is back again this year. I was just wondering that because I just heard Charge on a national show not too long ago, and Charchian is going to join us each and every week starting Thursday. And I was just thinking of that because I was listening to him. Now, by the way, Charge believes that the Packers are not going to be nearly as good as everybody thinks they are. So we're gonna because I heard him say it. So I'm going to pin him down come Thursday. I'm looking forward to that. So Paul Charchian is going to be joining us. By the way, Rami joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light is the official beer sponsor of the Milwaukee Rally. Coming up here at the end of the month, we all know the motorcycles are going to come roaring into town. Hell, we have our motorcycle ride going on. But on the 29th, 30th, 31st, 1st, and 2nd, you're going to have a lot going on in the city of Milwaukee, and that's called the Milwaukee Rally. All the dealerships get together. They have one big company calls themselves the Rally, and they have all these different events going on. So if you want to find out what's going on all throughout the town, as you come into town, or maybe you're in town already, go to MilwaukeeRally.com. That's MilwaukeeRally.com, and Budweiser is the official beer sponsor of the rally, has been through all the Harley dealers for a while now. Again, go to MilwaukeeRally.com. That's MilwaukeeRally.com. And they on that rally page for what's happening events, they actually have our live broadcast up on there as on the 30th. We're going to be at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, and they're putting the ride up as well. The ride is going to be a part of the Milwaukee Rally this year, too. So by all means, hey, by the way, I'll tell you more about that coming up here in a few, but time is ticking. The countdown clock is ticking. We're now a day and a few hours away from pre-registration closing. So if you haven't done that already, you got to do it. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com and get pre-registered for the motorcycle ride, and I'll give you all the details. But I think it's one of our best rides, if not our best ride ever, just by all the stops, locations, and everything that's being offered in this one. And it's just $25, and that's it. I mean, most rides are a lot more than that. So looking forward to it. But go to MilwaukeeRally.com, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Bucks, their schedule is out. Liking it? I do. More right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Weekend games at home at the Fiserv Forum. Four of them on Friday, nine on Saturday, three on Sunday, but 24 games. Now nationally televised. The Milwaukee Bucks on ABC, ESPN, and TNT. ABC is going to carry four games. They are playing on Christmas Day. They're going to be at Philadelphia, so now you get the spotlight. ESPN is going to give them 10 games. And then TNT has 10 games that they're going to be participating with. The Bucks have burst into the national scene. Welcome back to the program. I'm Bill Michaels. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget about the Quick Rewards card. At Quick Trip, the Quick Rewards card, that gets you some cash back. But ultimately, they can get you cool things. They have the Kitchen Cravings, 5-ounce sirloin steaks, perfect for the grill. They've got fajitas. They've got all kinds of stuff there. The Quickery white bread, 49 cents for just a loaf. I mean, it's ridiculous. The prices and the quality is unbelievable. But right now, the biggest thing you need to know is that they have the ultimate tailgate sweepstakes going on, the all-new Chevy Silverado. They're giving it away at a Packers preseason game. August 29th, the Packers preseason game. If you don't have a Quick Rewards card, pick up a free card right now at your Quick Trip store or download the free app online. No purchase necessary. See store for details. But Quick Trip and Jack Lynx, they are partnering up to give away a brand new 2019 Chevy Silverado and the ultimate tailgate sweepstakes. Go in and check it out and get the details now. So your Bucks, for people that have been clamoring for respect, well, you got it. They have got 24 games that are going to be nationally televised between ABC, ESPN, and TNT. And you've got some pretty good matchups. They're going to be Christmas Day. These are the games on ABC. Christmas Day, they're going to be at Philadelphia. February 22nd, they're going to be also against Philadelphia, but that's at the Fiserv. And March 14th, the Golden State Warriors are coming to town. Then you've got the Boston Celtics as well in April. Meanwhile, ESPN carrying a game at Boston at the Clippers. Also, the New Orleans Pelicans are coming to call. Golden State Warriors on the road and at Indiana against OKC. That one's going to be in February. Then you've got Indiana again coming to the Fiserv Forum in March, along with the Lakers, the Houston Rockets, and the Toronto Raptors on April 1st. TNT carrying games with the likes of Houston, Portland, the Lakers, Boston. So a lot of the teams with faces are all matching up against Giannis and the Bucks, and these games are all going to be nationally televised. So if you are a Bucks fan, and as many came pouring over the fence last year and started to jump onto the bandwagon as the shocks had to be replaced, you are now feeling that you are getting some respect. It is finally pouring in. It's not filtering in. It is pouring in to the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee as they continue to make that area over there a gem, continue to spruce it up, make it a destination. And now your Milwaukee Bucks are in the crosshairs of the national media, as we play the pun right there. But I like the schedule. Look, I like the fact that they have a lot of games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I love it, especially at home. Nine weekends, nine Saturdays. They're going to be playing at the Fiserv Forum. Four Fridays at the Fiserv Forum and three Sundays at the Fiserv Forum. Those Saturday night games are big for the Bucks. They're also playing a Martin Luther King Day afternoon contest, taking on the Bulls. And like I had mentioned, they've got some really good matchups coming up. But the Bucks are going to play each team in the Eastern Conference four times, except for Brooklyn, Charlotte, New York, and Miami. Milwaukee's going to play the home and road game against each of the Western Conference opponents. And you've got a hell of a schedule coming up. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Buck season will be back sooner than later, and all of a sudden you blink your eye and you go, whoa, they're ready to go again. Holy mackerel. That was quick. Coming up the next hour, we're going to talk some baseball. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. He's going to be here next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.